You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Welcome to the Drop the Needle podcast, your backstage pass to the corporate jungle. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and here, industry titans step up to the mic, sharing their epic journeys. We're hitting the high notes and the low notes of their careers, creating a symphony of success. This isn't just another interview show. It's where truth bombs are dropped and secrets are revealed. So grab your conductor's baton, because who knows, this just might help you compose the next huge hit of your career. Are you ready? Let's go. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Drop the Needle podcast. I'm your host, Jim Allstott. If you're just joining us, make sure you go back and check out part one of this powerful two-part conversation. Last time, we explored the emotional and spiritual dimensions of hospice care with Martha and Irene. We talked about fear of death, personal awakenings, and even what it's like to meet with a psychic medium for the first time. Today, we're picking up right where we left off, diving even deeper into the transition between life and death, what really happens in those final moments, and the stories that have stayed with our guests forever. So buckle in, open up, and let's keep this powerful conversation going.
Oh, what's really interesting to me is I was so afraid of death, but then as a nurse, I was drawn to hospice. Isn't that interesting?
And it is.
But the thing I love about hospice, I was a psych nurse too. I love the high communication, high emotion, high feeling, like where you really have to handle people with care. I mean, that's where it's like, that's where it's almost spiritual to me. Like, I can't explain how it feels in my body and in my heart, in my energy, to be able to be in that kind of a situation with a family. And I will also say, I've been with so many people at the moment in the time that they're passing. I've never seen a person terrified and afraid of dying. By the time the body is in the active dying process, the consciousness changes. And there's just a natural way that the body shuts down. There's a series of stages that one goes through. And like I said, it's being there for the family and explaining to them what's happened. Like, yeah, you're going to see this happen, but this is part of the process. It's a normal part of dying. And I know they're comfortable because their brow isn't furrowed. They're not moaning. There are signs that we can look for if to let us know if somebody is experiencing discomfort. So never seen anybody afraid at the moment of death.
That's important.
You're in a different realm by that point. Mm-hmm. And when somebody is actually dead, like when you see them go from, it's very biological too, in that like there may be something spiritual going on, which I'm sure there is based on your beliefs, but what's happening physically is very biological looking. But as soon as the body dies, there's something missing. It's so clear. It's just like an inanimate object.
Yeah.
It's striking. I can't explain it.
Their soul actually leaves the body.
Yeah, it's striking. You can tell that like something is gone. Everything. It's not just that the body is dead. Mm-hmm. I can't explain
the it. No, the
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the it dark. Of a human being.
Of a human being, yep.
Yeah.
So there's,
I always say,
I'm going to have to mute Irene here because she She hasn't learned how we take turns here.
Let her talk.
Oh, please, she won't stop. No. She's the Energizer bunny that keeps going.
There's nothing more beautiful than watching a life come into this world, and it's just to watch one leave.
That's what I say. You know what I tell families when I'd be there at the, as someone who's dying, I said, every time I'm with a family and their family member is dying, I just think, who was a witness when this being came into the world? This is just as sacred of a passing. It really is.
Yeah.
100%.
And did you ever stop to think we pass our death date every year? We just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the roulette wheel.
Yeah. The roulette. Yeah. Is it today? I don't know.
Always bet I'm black. That's my motto. Yeah, I hope not. I've got other stuff to do. I've got some editing to do today. It better not be today. So a couple of things. When Irene was talking about the similarities when people pass of seeing a light and walking into the light, my immediate comedic mind went to Poltergeist. You remember that little lady? Mm-hmm. All welcome. All go into the light. And poor Carol Ann was bringing all those people in with her. That was the only thing that went through my mind was Poltergeist when you said that. I don't know why. That lady, just the look on her face, and then that tennis ball thing that they threw. But that is true as it relates to. And Martha, you and I were talking about it that. It's not like there's a script written for people to pass away, but there's so much consistency, which leads me to believe that there has to be, again, what we were talking about, there has to be something else on the other side. The other thing, earlier, Irene mentioned, you know, pets coming to join you or meet you. Joe had said that, he was spot on with the same thing. He was saying the same thing that pets are there. But he said that they can't walk with you in that transition, but they're right there, the first step you make on the other side. And that goes for your loved ones, your pets, and everything like that, which is pretty comforting, I suppose, too, in and of itself. But the when we're talking about the things that happen or occur and people actually like having conversations, like my dad was having a conversation with somebody that wasn't there when he was in that stage where eyes closed, just talking, having a conversation. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I took care of that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I took care of that. But one of the things that it also reminded me of is on our birthday, my dad was in an intensive care transitional type of unit or home. And I brought my boys with me, all three of them, to go. My dad and I shared the same birthday. And we went to wish him a happy birthday, brought him a birthday cake, brought him some presents. And my dad went, get out of here, get out of here. And he was like waving something away. And I was just like, what are you doing, Dad? What's going on? And he's just like, get the dog out of here. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, the magician brought him. I said, the magician brought him? He goes, yeah, the magician. And then he's gone. Presto changeo. And then my boys have this look of terror on their face. Like, what the hell is Grandpa saying? I said, all right, boys, get to the car. And so I said, Dad, I'll be right back. Keep talking to the magician. I'll be right back. And went and talked to the people at the desk. And I said, well, you know, that could be, you know, those early stages of, I said, he's not dying. He's wide awake and he's talking. Or it could be a UTI. and I was like, what? Yeah, urinary tract infection, when it gets really bad, evidently causes not delirium, hallucinations. Yeah.
Yeah, delirium.
So that was something I learned that day. So, hey, public service announcement. If you have a urinary tract infection, don't let it get too bad. Yeah, people will lock you up.
When you start seeing shit, call somebody.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Hemorrhoid juice, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then, I'm sure you, if you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're going to see a dozen ads for things like that. Like I am. So I know. So let's talk a little bit more about some of those instances now. That it can you recall something that may have occurred that was pretty profound as it relates to that last few moments of somebody's life that now you go,
yeah,
I get it.
I have a big one.
Okay, let's hear it.
The only time that somebody was pretty conscious at the moment that they were about ready to pass was a patient that I had that had ALS. And ALS is a terrible, terrible disease. I've taken care of a lot of patients with it, but basically you lose all muscular function and eventually the muscles that control breathing stop and that's it, you know? So comfort is of paramount. And this gentleman, and it was interesting because I was in their home. The wife was fighting me. She's like, what does he want? Like, she was wanting to put oxygen on him because he was having a hard time breathing and he kept pushing it away. I'm like, he doesn't want it. He doesn't want it. It's okay. So I'm just trying to keep her calm. Once again, let the patient call the shots. And so there was a little bit of, you know, stress around that. And then his breathing slowed and she started to freak out. I'm like, it's okay. He's calm. It's okay. You know, and just was there with her, supportive. And at the moment he actually stopped breathing, all of a sudden his eyes opened and he looked up to the corner of the room. And all of us who were in there, it was me, the wife, and his daughter. I think the son-in-law was in there. We all looked up there too. It's like, what is he looking at? And then his head gradually came back and he was gone. You know, oh, I mean, that's the only time I ever saw anything like that. That was, and he was very close to, you know, he had been pretty awake up until the last 10 minutes or so before that happened. Mm. Once again, the body still has a natural way of declining so that you're not really fully conscious at the moment that you die. But he had, you know, it wasn't too long before that. So, yeah, it was really interesting.
That is something.
Yeah.
That I mean, yeah, I've unfortunately I've witnessed a couple of those instances where somebody's done that look, where you immediately turn your head to see what they're trying to see, or you're trying to see. They can definitely see it. I remember when my grandfather passed, I was saying a prayer, letting him know that everything was fine. You could go. You don't have to hold on, because he had a massive heart attack and they've just basically had him on a respirator, keeping him going. And I just, when I said, Grandpa, it's okay, you can go. All of a sudden he leaned up from a prone position and screamed. It scared the shit out of me. I was just like looking around because there was like nobody else in the room and everybody came running in. Like I did something. I felt like, it's like, oh, what did I do? I must have pushed a button or something. But he saw something that kind of freaked him out and he kept staring at me. And it's still with me today, obviously. But yeah. Very, very interesting. One of the other things that we were talking about where to kind of debunk the you just die type of deal is the fact that when, and we talked about it, there was somebody on Jen Weigel's show, there was a doctor who had passed for over 3.5 minutes. I think it was almost 4 minutes she was flatlined. So at that point, there's no brain activity either, right? None at all. There's flat lines across the entire machine. Respiration, heart rate, and brain waves are all flatlining. She was talking about what Irene had mentioned, that she could see herself getting pulled from the water, because I think she was on a whitewater rafting trip, if memory serves, and got pushed down under and like kind of held under a rock and drowned. And she was watching, and then her recollection was so clear, and she was able to recall those things. If you have no electricity going on in the brain, no brain waves, and you're able to recall that, what is that? Do you know what I mean? What is that? If that's not an example, or not, I don't want to say proof, because proof's like, see, look, it's not that. But I think that that's a great example of what I'm talking about, where there is something that happens potentially, right?
Can I raise my hand to
speak? Yes, please. I'm not muting you. I was just teasing you. Baby.
Taking turns. So to explain that, my belief is that the soul had left the body, right? The soul had left the physical body. So it didn't matter that she was flatlined. She didn't matter that there was no brain waves, or her, you know, respiratory status was not, you know, nothing. Her soul had left her body, so that she was able to see and experience all the things that were going on. Now, if she didn't leave, she wouldn't have had that recollection. So how many times have people gotten into accidents where they were unconscious and they still weren't responsive, but their soul did not leave? So they have no recollection or memory of what happened, you know, from the outside. Usually what happens, the soul will leave the body, experience what it experiences, and then goes through, like I said, that tunnel or that path, and decide whether they're coming back or not. Does that explain it?
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool.
Because thousands of people have that experience, and they're just unconscious, and they wake up and they have no idea where they are and what, you know, what happened. All they remember is the last moments up to the incident. But when those experiences of when your soul actually leaves, and maybe that, you know, is what your friend was trying to describe. You get those three chances.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, I'm kind of like, yeah, I think I got three to go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like you said, though, maybe you already used one, and you didn't, unbeknownst to you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's that possibility. With Irene, with what you're talking about, you know, from the scientific side, let's go with that, and then your abilities as a medium to communicate with people on the other side, how is that? I mean, how do you come to grips with that, or do you know what I'm getting at here?
So, you know, some people are afraid of it. Right. You know, and they're just not really, they don't really want to. So, all right, let me back up. We are all souls living a human experience. We all have our intuition and the ability to connect with people that are on our, you know, our loved ones that have transitioned, you know, to connect with the angelic realms and our guardian angels and all the angels that are around all the time, guiding us and protecting us and moving, helping us move through life. So, when you're open, it's like taking yourself to the gym, right? When you go to the gym and you're working your physical body, right? And we want to lose weight, we want to look good, we have to go to the gym. Same thing with intuition, right? You have to take your brain to the mind gym. You have to go and you have to exercise it. The intuition is your pineal gland. It's like the size of a pine cone, but it's calcified, right? We come to this planet and, you know, and have a human experience, but it's calcified. So what we do is through meditation and repetition and practice of shutting down the mental mind, going within, connecting from our heart space, right? Because our heart has a brain, you know, our heart communicates with our brain, and we're not aware of it. We just live through our minds, right? We're our logical minds. So the heart actually is always communicating. So when we do a meditation and we drop into our heart space, right? And we really shut down that mental logical side, and we can connect, right? Because we're connecting energetically. So when I see things, I kind of, there's a knowing, right? Sometimes I don't see so specifically, but I'll see some images, but I get the personality and I feel, right? So when I did your, like your instance for your reading, I went into the room, you know, mm-hmm. the person will take me into the situation. And it was almost like I was there. I could look around. I could see, it's almost like having an interview with someone. And there's just like this inner knowing, right? The clairvoyance, clairsentience, you can smell, you can hear, you can feel, you can know. So that's how it happens, right? So it's very, it's a beautiful experience. And there's nothing to be afraid of when you go for the highest good of all concerned, right? You're not doing, I don't want to say black magic or anything to be, mm-hmm. you know, to manipulate something down here on right. earth, right? We're connecting with loved ones and angels for the highest good of all concerned, right? When you miss someone and love someone, and you just want to know that they're okay. You connect from the heart space, not up here. And that's the difference of, you know, how to do that. So, but, and then I teach people all the time that if they're getting, they're open and they're getting these, you know, seeing things or hearing things and it frightens them, you put yourself in a bubble of light and you take a zipper and you close yourself off, you know? So when I sit down to do my mediumship, I open the zipper, I light a candle, I declare, you know, sacred space that I am open and ready to receive. Some mediums hear shit all day long, you know, and they can't go into rooms with people because they're hearing. So all you have to do is close yourself in the bubble of light and zip yourself up and you're going to be, you know, your human self, right? Because, you know, people say that, you know, once people transition, they should rest in peace, right? We're not supposed to always be nagging them. Or is everything all right? What's going on? Or we just want to know that they're safe and they're loved and they're around us if we need them, right? That they're going to guide them. So that's the purpose of it, you know? And I know sometimes in the Catholic faith, they're like, you know, let the dead rest in peace. And then it's like, you know, taboo to be connecting. But if you're doing it for the highest good of all concern, you know, it's different.
Right.
You know, Irene, what you were just saying with the heart and the brain, just recently I've been listening to a lot of things. There are a lot of debates over, is consciousness really in the mind? Where is consciousness? Yeah. It may not be in our brain. You know what I mean? It could be more than that, you know? And that's kind of what you were talking about.
Absolutely. And we don't even think about it, right? We don't even think about that. And we don't even think about our hearts beating, our lungs perfusing. Our
that's kidneys. Right.
You imagine what is really physically going on in our bodies on a day to day. We don't even think about
it. Yeah.
We just live up here in our logical mind of our shoulda, coulda, wouldas, and, you know, worrying about the future and regretting the past. Like that's where our human experience is, but there's so much more, you know, the 5D is our inherent wholeness, right? We came into this world perfect, right? And our inherent wholeness is to be loved and to be, and belonging. But we come here as humans to live, you know, learn these lessons. Yeah. And that's what ascension is, right? The more you learn and the more you ascend, when you come back and have to redo this lifetime, you don't have to repeat the same lessons that you learned.
You know, what's really interesting as you were talking about that, I'm like thinking how amazing the human body is. When you talk about everything that goes on in our human body, and then we're spending time going, oh, man, I wish instead of going, holy crap, there's so much going on. It is a magnificent machine.
How miraculous it is that know, we're walking around in this, you know, vessel, right? Because it really is a vessel. And and to have gratitude for that and to, you know, treat your body with that, like, respect. And how
unique it is that we're even here. I mean, think about all the pieces of people that had to get together just to get the right combination to make me in this space and time. I mean, that blows my mind. I can think about that and just, you know.
I think John St. Augustine had a TED Talk. It was like human mathematics. And he was talking about the probability of being born being, I want to say like 4 trillion to 1, the probability of you being born, 4 trillion to 1. It's quite amazing that that's what it is.
Right.
I mean, I'm in awe of that. I had no idea. And his TED Talk is is really cool. If anybody wants to, John will actually be a guest of mine here coming up. So it'll be interesting to talk to him a little bit more in depth about that. One last thing before we close everything out, or actually two, I wasn't sure if anybody did any, musical thoughts on for today's episode or not, but I'm curious to know, Martha, have you ever had an experience where you thought you heard, saw, or smelled someone that had passed? And what I mean is like that their favorite perfume, or if they were a cook, something that they cooked and you had nothing on as far as like food or anything like that. Has anything ever happened like that?
The only thing I could think of, it's one thing happened when I was a child, and this came to mind as we were talking earlier on. I don't know how old I was, maybe 7, 8. And I was upstairs in our house and I was all by myself and it was real quiet. And I said, if I have a guardian angel, make this curtain move. And the curtain moved and I went downstairs so fucking fast. Terrified. You know what I mean? And so now, and I think back on that, like, I'll never forget that, but I'm like, well, maybe the wind, the air just came on. You know what I mean? Like, I logically, but that freaked me out. I mean, that's the only time in my life.
Wow.
But I feel like, I also connect with you really saying that you use the word being open. I feel like I'm opening. That's the only way I can describe it. And I talked to Jim about that the other day. I'm opening myself to possibilities because it's taking the fear away that I have about what's after I get out of this human sack. You know, I don't want there to be nothing. I want there to be something. Cause I always say, if there is nothing, then what's the point? What am I here for? Cause I'll have no memory of anything of this moment. This doesn't exist, you know? So that's kind of fading away now with this opening that I'm having.
That's pretty cool.
I'm happy to hear that because, you know, we're not taught these things as children. We're not taught what really goes on in the purpose of life. And, you know, we go to church as kids and, you know, we went to Sunday school and we learned all about God and Jesus and the apostles and, you know, so, but they never really talk about spirituality.
No.
As long as that mystery, and yes, we come down and the veil, you know, gets covered and we forget, right? But
when
it gets thinner, you know, we start to realize our, you know, our purpose. And just to, I don't want to go down the rabbit hole, but there is the Akashic record. So you said, I won't remember anything. So when you transition and you go and your loved ones are there, they don't really stay with you because you have work to do. So what happens is you go to the book of the Akashic records and you have your life review and you get to see all the good that you've done. Right. Whether it's in the grocery store and you just, you know, paid for the groceries behind you or a cup of coffee, or, you know, you just help someone out and you didn't know it. Right. They were having a miserable day. And just by the one thing that you said changed the trajectory of their life, like all those good things. And then you go into the lessons that you contracted to come into this lifetime to learn. And then they decide whether you learned them or not, or the next incarnation, you're going to come back and work on that.
Yeah.
And that's what Ascension is.
I up love
and
that.
The Ascended Masters. So the Ascended Mastered Angels are ones that mastered lifetime after lifetime. They were humans living a human experience, and they've ascended to being godlike. So they don't have to incarnate anymore.
So somebody who does Akashic Records is your next visit, Martha.
Okay.
So that could be pretty cool. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I'm open.
I probably have a broken Akashic record. Yeah. Or Akashic skipping records, Akashic
records. There's patterns, right? When you go into the Akashic record, so I'll do readings on Akashic records. And what that does is it shows you maybe a previous lifetime, and then it's going to relate to an issue you're having here in this one. Mm. Right. So there's something that where you're stuck in life, and that's because of a past life that you're here to learn. So we want to be open and kind of peel that layer of the onion back to have a little more awareness of what you're struggling with in this lifetime. Maybe a different situation, you know what I mean? But it, you know, in that life, but in this lifetime, there's parallels. And then we put forgiveness around it, or we take the lesson and the blessing from it. And then we try to clear it, and so that we don't have to repeat it again.
Cool.
Yeah.
So Do we have any musical stuff or no? Because if we don't, that's totally cool. I didn't plan on that, even though it's the third pillar of the show. I can come up with a few songs, and if anybody else wants to shoot me a text with a few songs, you can do that too.
I mean, I always tell, you know, in the class that we put together a playlist of, you want to listen to music that's going to be motivational and uplifting, right? I always used to say, I think I said this to you, I used to love country music. I still do, but they always lose the girl, right? They lose the truck, lose the money, yeah. I love the music and the artists. There's so many great ones, but I always felt like down, you know, I never felt uplifted and motivated to get my stuff done. So now I have like a playlist track that I give to the kids in my class or the adults, and we just play it on repeat. You put your earphones on, you're doing your laundry, you're doing whatever you need to do, and you're motivated to get things done. So I'll give you some of the songs on the playlist of this things that are going to change your vibration, because you want to just stay as high vibe as you can, because it's so easy to just get, you know, down and unmotivated and just,
oh, you
know,
heck, like, yeah. So too easy. Too easy. No, I appreciate that. Well, then, it's just about time to cue the music for today's episode. But don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the Drop the Needle podcast to stay up to date on our latest episodes. I'd also like to take a moment to thank everyone again for tuning in. And I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Drop the Needle podcast. I'd also like to thank our special guests, plural, Martha Mary, and my queen, Irene, partner in crime, Doresti. Thank you for being the guests today. I definitely enjoy this immensely. I also invite you to head on over to our show notes, where there's going to be a link from today's playlist, as well as ways to get in touch with both Martha and Irene, because they do some pretty special things. And if you have any other questions, want to get in touch with me, you can at jim@dtmpodcast.com. All right, my Drop the Needle posse, like Billy Joel says, from the highs to the lows to the end of the show, this is the end of our show. Until next time, this is Jim Allstott wishing you infinite health and happiness and the perfect playlist of your life. Thank you again for being the best part of us. Catch you next time. Oh.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.